guys, and welcome in to the ASAP. This is our first After Synergy application podcast of the semester, even though it is week two of Synergy. I am here with my friends Lydia and Katie.
Woo!
Yeah.
We're so excited to be here.
And so this is a fun new twist on the ASAP for this semester. Is you're familiar to hearing myself or Lexis with another staff member. But Lexis did this fun thing where she also brought some students on, and we want to hear from students, and we want to have students be a part of recapping what we're hearing each Thursday and talking about how we live it out. And so we have Miss Katie Moore with us as our first student to hop on the podcast. Katie, say hello to the people.
Hello, people. Happy to be here. Honored.
I think there's a lot of ways that we could start this podcast, but the first place is what... That was where I would want to start is just out of gratitude. Katie handed me a hot hand 10 minutes ago, and that was just not something I was expecting in my evening tonight. But, you know, it's pretty chilly out there. We've had a lot of snow these last couple of weeks, and, you know, it's actually in my hands right now.
I have mine, too.
Very comforting.
Always looking to serve, you know.
Yeah, so stay warm out there, folks. Get you a hot hand. If you hear any background noise, that's because PSP is happening in the basement. If you hear any chewing on this podcast, it's because we all have Funfetti and Skyline Dip and all kinds of other treats in front of us.
Dip nine.
So hopefully when you listen to this, this just helps you reminisce on all the good food that you had on Thursday night. Cool. I think I'd like to start because I actually was not at Synergy last week, which is part of why we didn't have the podcast, unfortunately. With maybe just a little recap of last week's message where David started us. So we're in this Jesus series to start the semester. David started by diving in on talking about how Jesus is gentle and lowly. So Lydia, would you want to give us just maybe a little synopsis of maybe some good stuff from last week?
Yeah, I think so. I actually got to read the book Gentle and Lowly over break too. So I feel like, man, this is... great. And so I feel like even just a summary of that book even was, it's not about like this teetering. Honestly, I feel like last week and this week were perfectly meshed together of like talking through, okay, what does it look like whenever Jesus describes himself, he describes himself as gentle and lowly rather than this like wrathful God. Whereas like even entering into this week, it was like, hey, we're going to talk about anger and compassion kind of put together. And so it's not like this teeter-totter of like, he's either angry with me or he's like compassionate towards me or just towards me or merciful towards me. It's like they both grow at the same time. It's not this like either or. So yeah, David talked really great last week. I'm trying to think of any, a week feels so long. I'm trying to think of things he specifically said. But gentle and lowly has been just such a, I feel like it's been a hug to my heart, honestly, that I keep saying, I'm like, this is just such a beautiful book that you just realize the depth of God's love, that it's just so much bigger than you and me. And so it's just like, oh, I want to be loved by the Lord. And so, yeah, it's been, it was a cool series last week.
Yeah. I was going to say that if you didn't, that I picked up the book to read at the start of this semester and Lydia was like, Landon, I'm so excited for you to read this book. This book is literally just like a big hug.
It is.
And it truly has been. So maybe go get your own copy at the Lewis House Bookstore. Cool. So yeah, this week, as Lydia mentioned, David kind of dived in and talked about God as both just and compassionate. Katie, do you have anything that kind of just jumped out to you from what David had to share tonight?
Well, I thought David did a great job, considering all the stuff that's happening with COVID and just all the replacements and stuff. I thought the sermon was great. I loved just talking about the fact that, Jesus just feels so deeply. And so, though his like wrath can be deep, his compassion's also deep. And because of both of those things, it's what makes like his love for us, like so great and so deep and so powerful. There was a quote in there that was talking about, like a compassionless Jesus couldn't, what was it? Couldn't,
Oh yes, yes, yes. It was our worship is worthless if we don't have compassion for the people around us. Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm going to find it in the notes. It was, a compassionless Christ could never have gotten angry at the injustices all around him. Yeah. It is a father who loves his daughter most, whose anger rises most fiercely if she is mistreated. And I was like, ooh, that's good. Mm-hmm. So you can't have one without the other.
Yeah. I think one of the most helpful things that he even talked about was like, what does it look like to have pure anger, like anger without sin? Because I think a lot of times anger can be so warped of like, you may have had an angry parent growing up, or you may have had like angry people around you, or you may have experienced anger and then sinned. Like, I think that to understand that there is such a thing as pure anger, and that that is Jesus and he holds that, and that we don't have to like be angry, I think is such an interesting, like anger is a good response, but when you operate in anger and then sin, I think it was a whole different mind shift. And I've always heard it said that like being angry and bitter towards someone is like taking poison and expecting them to die. And I'm like, that's such an interesting thing. Wow. 'Cause you're like, I'm going to hold this, but you're going to die. And it's like, this isn't actually solving anything. So I think that pure anger is an interesting even thing to think about.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of like what you were saying before we hit the record button of like the gut thing that David was talking about. Like whenever you see someone or see like an injustice, like it's the gut wrenching, the gut turning feeling. And it's not like a bad feeling, like it's not a great feeling, but you're not feeling it because of sin. You're feeling it because your heart hurts for what's happening.
Yeah. It's this compassionate guttural response. Yeah. I hate the word guttural, but it also just conveys
I feel like it fits so well.
We need to be said, but yeah.
Yeah. I think that's like so true that we shape God more like in our image and try to expect like his emotions to look like our emotions when really like his emotions like transcend ours. And so even the anger we're familiar with, the compassion we're familiar with, you know, his looks nothing like that. I just love the idea of his heart for justice coming out of an overflow of compassion. I just think that's such a beautiful vision, of even what it looks like to be compassionate as a follower of Christ. And I love that line where, he said that Jesus loves too deeply to remain indifferent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that you can kind of just, you know, I don't know. I think that we live in a culture that's like so focused on like ourselves. That sometimes it takes some intentionality to really enter into the lives of others beyond just like a thoughts and prayers, right?
Yeah.
It's something that actually like delves into action and to actually have, you know, our hearts moved.
Yeah.
I think there's just some, I don't know. That's like where we have to have like, you know, our hearts of stone become hearts of flesh, right? Like where we can just become so closed off and just think about like what's right in front of us that it's just so hard to even begin to be compassionate towards, you know, those around us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think being like talking about the heart and talking about emotions has always been something that's really big around like even my story, which is so fun to be able to talk through like, okay, what does it look like for your emotions to be healed or your emotions to be like complete. And so for a long time, I thought that I was heartless. I was like, I don't have a heart. Like we're fine. Cause I can really easily just like numb out and be like, I don't need to actually feel. And so I didn't even realize that a word for that was apathy. And I was like, I can just like not feel. And, the fact that emotions are good, I think is actually, and that Jesus had emotion is actually a beautiful, beautiful thing. So even realizing my heart was a stone, but he removes it and gives me a heart of flesh. It's not that I need to like operate out of, I need to soften my stone heart. It's like, no, he gives me a new one. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that was a huge even turning point in my story of being like, Lord, I want you to change my heart. And so like the fact that he has healthy emotions, I think has been like a whole learning curve for me even of like, what does it look like to have healthy emotions?
Yeah. Kind of similar to that, which is like, the like, does your heart break for the things that like the Lord's heart breaks for? Like, I feel like for me, I was so overwhelmed by the world coming in, like out of high school and into college. Like I was like, there's too much going on. Like there's so much pain, so much hurt. So like kind of what you said, like I like numbed it out. I was like, you know, I'm not getting on Twitter. I'm not getting on the news. I'm just going to ignore it. But like literally Jesus loves too deeply to remain indifferent. Like I was literally putting myself in a place of indifference because I was overwhelmed when there were people out there that like needed me to see that just for prayers, like just to be like, okay, this is important. And yeah, it hurts, but like, there's a reason that it hurts. It's because it really just shouldn't be happening, but because of the world,
Yeah. I think our indifference actually is a selfish thing because it makes it about us rather 100%. Than about people. And so when you're just so navel gazed or navel focused, navel as in like you're just looking at yourself all the time. I guess it's kind of a weird
like
word.
Belly button?
Yeah. If you're always looking at your belly button, you're thinking about yourself too much. But I feel like if you like are only thinking about yourself, you're sometimes indifferent because the end of yourself is just yourself. Like there has to be so much more. And so when you look outward and you actually serve the people around you, and I love that David even like challenged people to like, okay, what does this actually look like practically? Right. Like, what does this look like? We need to shake things up. We need to bust things up the way that we've always been doing them. I feel like he really even activated people to be like, go, like, it's okay to have both of these and hold them together. So
I kind of even thought about like, I just imagine there's like people that are on kind of like either end of the spectrum where like, I think there's a lot of people that probably were in the space that you were in, Katie, where it's like, I just see so much negativity and so much wrong with the world and so much injustice like on the news. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how to carry it.
Yeah.
And I think that like, when I think of that, I just think of, you know, that we're not meant to carry that burden. I think to understand that like our Father's heart breaks so much more deeply than our own. We're really able to trust that, like, you know, I think that because part of that, like, I think what can be so overwhelming about that is like, why is all this happening and nobody cares?
Yeah.
But knowing that the creator of the world, like, deeply cares and even cares more than I could even imagine.
Which is crazy.
There's so much freedom in that. And then there's like an invitation to, you know, to partner with him and to not have to feel like you have to save the world on your own, but that you get to pick up a small piece based on, you know, who you're in proximity to, what your giftings are, to step into the healing redemptive work and to like partner with him and what his heart is, you know, and to be near to those, who are suffering injustice. And then I think there's the other end of it where like, you're just not, it's not just not even on your radar at all. Mm-hmm. And you're just kind of coasting. I think David got to that towards the end of like, you know, God will afflict those who are comfortable. And just this comfort level of like, there's all the trolling on social media, but it's not, you know, all the negativity. It's just like all the positive stuff. It's just like, you know, keeping a tight circle and not, you know, even, because I think so much of it is like proximity. Like, are you in proximity, you know, to injustice? Like, and if you don't see it, I think it's hard to even begin to get that point of like compassion.
Yeah. I think his call just at the end of just like, what are you doing? Like, honestly, for me, it was like, what are you doing outside of this room? Like when you're done worshiping, when you're done being around your close circle of friends, like, what are you doing outside? And like, there's a whole campus that like needs just revival and needs love. And like, it's just such a good reminder that like, even though like as a senior, it's so easy to be like, I'm about to be out of here in like 3 months. Like my work here, like isn't done. And like the same thing with like people that are already graduated, like there's still like a need. And like, even it's like a simple thing as like praying like every day for just like one section of campus, or like going out and serving somewhere. Like, it's so easy to get complacent and so easy to just be like, this is my bubble now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we can numb out to what campus actually needs. Like campus needs a deeply compassionate and deeply angry savior. Like they need that. And so I think that we need to stir it. And it happens with the interactions that you have daily. It happens with the person you're talking to in the Starbucks line. It happens with the person that you're sitting at the same table at the library, or like the person you're doing nursing stuff with, you know, like that you're studying with. And so it happens with those little interactions. That's like so much more than just a little interaction. Yeah. People deeply need Jesus on campus. And I think to activate that and be like, go get on campus. Don't just be here in this little bubble. If it just stays a bubble, it's not going to do anything. Yeah. Like, it has to spread. And
I think that was the craziest thing, like coming out of quarantine. Like, I was so reluctant to go to class. I was like, I don't want to go. Like, if I can do it from my bed, like, I'm doing it from my bed. But the first day, like, being on campus this semester and like seeing the way that campus like is, because I literally was in a bubble. Like, I had forgotten what classes were like, and honestly, like, forgotten like the different types of people that are around you. And it's just crazy to like have that reminder again of like, not everywhere is like here, and not everyone's like you. And like, thank God for that, because it's so freeing.
Yeah,
it's so great to know that like, thank goodness there are not carbon copies of Katie Moore just running around. Landon's like, amen to that. Like, thank goodness that is not happening. Like, that's so cool that we're just so uniquely made. Mm-hmm. It's just awesome. Yeah. That was a little bit of a tangent.
No,
sorry.
But that's good.
Yeah. So I wonder like what this even looks like practically, like what it looks like to, become people who are more compassionate, to come become people who are willing to, you know, partner with the Lord with this, mm-hmm. you know, with this heart for campus. So do you all have any, you know, thing that's like popped into your mind or anything that David highlighted that would be good, just even practical applications out of this week?
I think the practical thing that popped into my mind was when he was talking about like sponsoring a kid for compassion, international. I was like, that is so awesome. And I've heard it so many different times, and it's crazy. Actually, like CSF sponsors, I think like 5 kids or something like that through $5 fast. And so literally he was talking about fasting. He was talking about praying, like all of these things put together, even sponsoring people abroad, like outside of this place. And so I think even, what does it look like for us as a community to like, $5 fast is amazing, and it's a way for even us to bless campus, but also the world. And so I think for people to actually sign up for that and actually fast and actually be like praying and hungering for people to actually know who God is could change this campus. Like, it can happen. And so I think signing up for a $5 fast is something that's super simple, super practical.
It's a great place to start.
Biblical, like just start by skipping one meal. Like, something simple can actually like make a big change across the world. Who knew?
And I think that prayer piece is so huge too, because I think that's the work of like, I don't know, like that's kind of where I'm at right now. It's like, Lord, would you even lead me to big compassion through just learning to intercede for others? Mm-hmm. I think there's such power in that, is like when you can actually bring other people before the Lord and partner, you know, with his heart, because his heart breaks for them and whatever you're praying them, you know, for them. And I think that, is super important work, to not just give lip service like, oh, I'll pray for you, but to actually spend that time with the Father. I think that's where he kind of does that work of giving us hearts of flesh and actually moving us towards compassion, and even giving those nudges of like, hey, here's what you can actually do to meet this person, to care for this person.
Yeah, I think mine is definitely like the thing that stood out to me when he was talking was, I am very quick to not go deep with my feelings and not let myself feel the sadness of like my own feelings, or like the trying to meet people and like have empathy for them. So I think like just praying that, or not even praying, but like being still and letting my emotions actually happen and being like, wow, this is hard. And like, there is, again, there's just like a need for prayer, like just a simple like realization of like, this is actually like happening. Cause I'm just go, go, go all the time, that like when I actually sit down, I'm like, wow, this is like heavy stuff, but it's good that it's heavy stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, it should be heavy. So I think just starting with like, and like, I don't know like where people are at that listen to this podcast, but like for me, like the emotion part of it is like the hardest part, because I don't want to feel those negative emotions. So like actually letting yourself feel, like feel the weight of it is, I think, the first step just for me.
Yeah.
So
I think the last little thing that I'll even say with this is like, to listen well. Like when you're compassionate, you're attentive to what's happening outside of yourself. So I think when you pay like attention to what's happening around you, even if that is like, I had someone in college tell me this and I was like, oh my gosh, don't say this out loud. But they're like, even if you're a broke college student, you're still given loans. Like, you're given loans, and like, what would it look like to even tithe your loans? And I was like, don't say that out loud. That's crazy. Whoa. Like, that feels weird. But it was like, it stretched my like even mind to think like, okay, God, like, how do I even, with what I've been given, how do I even honor you? How do I do that? And so when I'm attentive to someone who is, I can tell, really strapped for finances and doesn't know like how they're going to get dinner, how do you even just partner in with that and say, this is a personal thing that I'm going to step in and do, because I have a good Savior. I have a good God who is so generous. I can give you $20 to go, let's go get pizza together, you know? Yeah. And so I think being attentive to those actual practical needs rather than just being like, yeah, sure, someone else will take care of it. Yep. It's like, no, listen to what people actually need.
Yeah.
And so it's not just, oh, some organization will do that for us. It's like, no, you personally, you do it. So,
I have one more thing to add.
Yeah.
I think to follow in with what I was just saying, like trusting that the Holy Spirit will give you what like the Lord's heart is breaking for, like trusting like in the moment of like going through your day and like, you're like, okay, I need to sit down. Like, I need to like connect with the Lord. Like, if the Lord gives you like a thought, like go with it. Like this is like, he's not just going to lead you on some random tangent. Like trust that what you're hearing is like God's cry, and like really pray through it and like pray for whoever it is or whatever it is that he's putting on your heart.
And it's so fun when it aligns with like the, you can tell it's like the Holy Spirit. If it aligns with like the fruit of the Spirit, go. Like if it aligns with love, joy, peace, patience, like go. Like it's the Holy Spirit, like move.
Yeah.
I think it's cool.
And I think there's such beauty in that. And like that all of us, like all of our hearts are going to break for the same thing. Cause Lord knows there's so much injustice out there. And like, there's going to be different things that tug on our heartstrings. I think it's really important to pay attention to that and pay attention to where the Lord's at in that. And even who we're in proximity to, who we have conversations with, just random conversations. Just like how in the world did I end up, you know, talking to this person? Yeah. I think that, I think even as, you know, the students who are listening to this are like in this season of figuring out who you are, you know, where you're called, that kind of thing, like pay attention to like what your heart breaks for, you know, like where your deepest desire meets the world's, you know, deepest hurt. Like, I think that's, I don't know, that's just a good thing to keep in front of you of, you know, maybe there's something there and like, why does my heart break for this thing in particular? Yeah. And where does that lead me? Yeah. Might be a good question to, I don't know, to wrestle with. So, great. Well, this has been really good. And I just want to thank you all for hopping on. And we will catch you guys next week. See ya.